You're listening to the Warrior Priest Podcast.
And this is the Warrior Priest Podcast, High Ground number 2. And I am the Warrior Priest, Donovan Riley. Today I want to read an essay by Eric Blauer entitled The Warrior Ethos and the Masculine Journey in the Lord of the Rings. He begins, "What does it mean to be a man today? Yeomer, let blow the horns to rally all men to his banner that could come thither, for he thought to make a great shield wall at the last, and stand, and fight there on foot till all fell, and do deeds of songs on the fields of Pelennor, though no man should be left in the west to remember the last king of the Mark. So he rode to a green hillock, and there set his banner. And the white horse ran rippling in the wind, out of doubt, out of dark to the day's rising. I came singing in the sun, sword unsheathing. To hope's end I rode, and to hearts breaking. Now for wrath, now for ruin, and a red nightfall." These staves he spoke, yet he laughed as he said them, for once more lust of battle was on him, and he was still unscathed. And he was young, and he was king, the lord of a fell people. And lo, even as he laughed at despair, he looked out again on the black ships, and he lifted up his sword to defy them. The Return of the King, Lord of the Rings, Book 5, Chapter 6, The Battle of the Pelennor Fields. One of the most valuable gifts I received as I read The Lord of the Rings as a young man was the introduction of characters, especially the men, who captured my imagination and admiration. At that time, I was being tossed around in emotionally devastating ways because of my parents' divorce and subsequent events that took place. I was having my world dismantled and needed help, hope and healing, and I found significant measures of that in Tolkien's stories. All the meta-narratives in those pages spoke to me on multiple levels. I found light in dark places through the imprint of those adventures. The power of that existential "I want to be like" idea took root deep in my adolescent psyche. My view of the world, men, women, home, land, virtue, and evil, was shaped by much of the truth that held the Hobbit's fantasy world together. It eventually even helped me embrace the gospel of Jesus. When I discovered the gospels, they resonated within my soul with the truth that had already found a welcomed home in my heart and mind. Tolkien's work had prepared me in mortal and immortal matters that I had yet to fully understand. Tolkien's worldview prepared the soil of my inner life for the seed of God's word, and I came to hear the more full symphony of biblical truth in the songs I had come to know in the pages of The Lord of the Rings. To me, as a young reader, I learned that men mattered in the cataclysms of life. All kinds of men mattered. There was not just one type of guy in the books. I came to love all the distinctive differences of the races of men, with all their particular strengths and weaknesses. Those differences mattered in the story, and each man brought something unique and essential to the fellowship. I came to recognize that even the most unlikely of men often are the great heroes in the story of life. Classic fantasy literature cultured me in the values of tolerance and diversity, but without the insipid deconstructionism of the neo-progressive cultural agenda. The debate in our culture about what is real masculinity is taking on steam. There are those from certain political, ideological, and even religious worldviews that desire to eliminate, redefine, or at least minimize gender distinctives, roles, and even scientific biological realities. From one angle, It appears to just be guys trying to help widen the masculine tent by pushing back on narrow definitions of masculinity. But it's more than that. It's a Trojan horse that seeks to remake culture in its own neo-progressive way. These are power purposeful, points of a political strategy to achieve a desired end, and too many people fall for this social propaganda. This agenda is being pressed on many fronts, even though the cultural problems associated with young boys and men in matters of psychological and behavior development, education challenges, absentee fathering, domestic violence, suicide, and crime all shout to us that men need support, equipping, and vision to face this confusing and contradictory world. Families are being deconstructed, redefined, patched together in ways that are leaving generations of men fatherless, without mentors, hopeless, unrighteous, and dangerously isolated. As men who care about other men and their psychological, physiological, relational, and spiritual development, we must help men answer these ancient and essential questions. What does it mean to be good at being a man? What does it mean to be a good man? One can succeed at one without the other, but in doing so, they will develop into a lopsided man, not a fully developed one. We all know of men who are traditionally considered manly, but are not good men, or others who are not super macho, or whatever, and yet are good men. We must go beyond simple stereotypes and help men develop competence and character. They must develop the skills of being good at being a man and build the solid foundations of being a good man. Too many men are good guys, but are not succeeding in life. They are nice, but not needed. Other men have solid, masculine tactical skills, such as strength, courage, mastery, and honor, but are failing in relationships, spiritual development, virtue, and character. An effective, healthy, holistic approach to building men engages both edges of the masculine spear. The warrior ethos in The Lord of the Rings is about cultivating virtuous masculinity. It helps develop men who can protect, provide, and procreate with an ethical, moral, and competent ideological, theological, and sociological ethos. The toxic kind of masculinity being lamented today is often a caricature of the worst of masculinity, unmoored from its virtuous center. Masculinity is not toxic. A misunderstanding of what being a good man is toxic. And I would say men today don't need to redefine masculinity, but return to its core tactical, ethical, moral, and religious convictions. I do not love the bright sword for its sharpness, nor the arrow for its swiftness, nor the warrior for his glory. I only love that which they defend. Faramir, Lord of the Rings. And again, that was The Warrior Ethos and the Masculine Journey in The Lord of the Rings, written by Eric Blauer. And that's all there is for this episode of High Ground. I'll talk to you again real soon. Peace.